What a beautiful, beautiful church you are. I'm so moved by the way that you pray. I thank you for praying for our little grandbaby that is struggling right now. And I've told some of you this separately. I'll tell you now individually so you'll know that she's about 3 or 4 days old now. They've taken her to Kansas City Children's Hospital. And both of the veins that come into the heart right here are simply just laying there. They're not connected. So she was terribly blue, and they flew her there, took her there. And the surgery team is being gathered together. And they're going to go in there, and they're going to attach those veins where they should be. And so we're believing God for a miracle. And I thank you for your prayers. You're a beautiful church. When I look out there, I see the family of God. I see a people who love each other. Lord, where are all those tubes I'm used to seeing you with?
They're gone.
They're gone. This church is a praying church, and that's why they're gone. Wednesday night, there's a small group that gather. But, oh, you ought to hear them pray. You ought to hear them pray for Brother Lowell. And the doctors are wondering how and why. Our God is a God of miracles. Let us pray. Father, I cannot thank you enough for the children of God in this church, the way they pray, the way they love each other, the way they avoid and have nothing to do with dissension. Oh God, a church like that's unusual. It's a Philadelphian type church, Lord. Lord, I think about Brother Mike Lee that's coming as the pastor. Oh God, I thank you for such a beautiful young man and beautiful family. Father, I pray that you'll make this a wonderful, smooth transition for him. I pray that your spirit will fall upon him as it has me in this wonderful church. I pray that you withhold no blessing from him. I pray that you continue to, your spirit will just come in this church in such a great and astounding way. We'll give you all the glory, for there's none like you. You're our hope. You are our salvation. You are our life. We thank you for loving us and sending to us Jesus, Heavenly Father. Amen. Now, last Sunday, I did a review of the first 11 chapters of the book of Revelation. In just a little bit, we're going to take a look at what you see on the screen, Revelation 22, verse 17. We're going to look at that together in just a minute. Last Sunday, I did the review. We saw the sixth and the seventh seals of the book of Revelation. We saw those seals, those final seals, broken by the very hand of Jesus himself. In the sixth seal, we saw God's wrath was beginning to be poured out on the whole world. And it was not the beginning of history, but it is the beginning of the end. We see that the whole earth is shaken by earthquakes, that we see the blood moon that is there. We see the strong winds, the mountains being moved and literally thrown into the ocean, the heavens being rolled aside. And then in verse 17 of chapter 6, we hear these words, "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" Now the people have begun to run. They've begun to hide. Many times in my career, the Air Force, I've been to Denver, Colorado. I've been in that beautiful mountain there that we have inside of it, our security and our base. And the entrance to that mountain is just about the size of this entire area of this church. That's the entrance to the mountain. Trucks, semis, railroad tracks, trains come in and out, people. But on that day of the Great Tribulation, the people are hiding in the caves and the mountains, and they are praying. We saw in the last part of chapter 6, the greatest prayer meeting in the whole world. That mountain entrance will be filled with people who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. We see there gathered the greatest prayer meeting that the world has ever seen. And it'll be filled with those who have rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. But we saw a fantastic thing there. They're so out of their minds and so hopeless because they've rejected Christ that they're praying to the rocks. What a terrible scene. That concluded the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. And then in chapter 7, we began the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, where we see there a group in what going through what is called the Great Tribulation. We see there in the midst of that 144,000 Jews are converted. In that horrible chaos that's upon the world, there are these 144,000 that their hearts are turned to Jesus. And we see that they're everywhere in the world. They're in South America. They're in the United States. They're in Missouri. They're in Oklahoma. They're in Africa. They're in Canada. They are throughout the entire world. They're the scattered lost tribe. And yet they've come individually, one by one, to know Jesus as Savior. And they become the 144,000 witnesses for the Lord Jesus. 144,000 pastors and evangelists who become, if you will, the Apostle Pauls of the end of the age. You know, the Apostle Paul, he sold out to Jesus. He lived for one thing, and that's to preach Jesus. And these 144,000 missionaries that are converted in the chaos of the last part of the Great Tribulation period, they'll be devoted to preaching and the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw there that the Apostle Paul types, these dedicated Jewish pastors, Jewish evangelists, we see there that they have a response to their message of preaching Christ. And in fact, the Bible says that there are so many converts that they are without number. They cannot be numbered. The Bible calls them a multitude. No one could count the converts turning to Christ. And then the seventh seal was opened. And we saw there, suddenly, there was silence in heaven. Remember that? It was like the tornado. Just before it hits, there's a vacuum. There's a silence. You could even hear a pin drop. As all of creation in heaven and the host and the whole world waits for the judgment of God Himself upon those who have rejected Christ in the last days. His judgment on an ungodly and blaspheming world. Silence is so deafening. You could hear a pin drop. Then in chapter 8, we saw the angels that represented the presence of God with the seven trumpets prepared to announce the seven final judgments of God. And he's getting ready with each one of those trumpets when it's blown to pour out the wrath of God. And once again, we saw all the prayers of the saints. There was a special angel came, and this special angel, he had all the prayers of the saints in his hand, and he began to offer them up. And he offered up all of the prayers of all of the saints of all of the ages. Remember that the book of Revelation teaches us that God saves every prayer that you ever uttered. The ones you prayed for Brother Lowell are going to be there. Remember the golden bowl that I brought, and I poured out the prayers, and we read the prayers that could be said for those, by those saints in heaven. And so he lifts up his hands and he sends those prayers to the Lord God. And then we saw in that passage of scripture as well that he filled up the scepter then with coals, and he began to fling those coals upon the face of the earth. And each time he flung them, it was in vengeance. It was an answer to the prayers of the saints against evil. And evil got its comeuppance on that day. We saw that in the book of Revelation. And then all seven blew their trumpets. We skipped very quickly to the seventh trumpet, which is in the 11th chapter, the 15th verse of the book of Revelation. Let me read it to you. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Did you hear that? You see, the prayer that the saints had been offering, we brought that out. The special angel, he brought this out, that the prayers, that the main prayer that the saints have been praying throughout the ages and you have been praying is this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And on that moment, that prayer is answered when he blows that seventh trumpet, and the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever ever and ever, and heaven has come on earth. Well, that brings us to this morning's message. That brings us to the last chapter in the last book of the Bible, from the last words of Jesus Christ himself in the Bible. And I have entitled this last message, The Last Invitation. Now, this is the end of the apocalypse. It is the end of the Bible. There are no more prophets to interpret the mind of God. There are no more apostles to write with infallible authority the word of God. There's no more instruction and no more mandates from heaven. And the visions recorded here, they extend into the future and beyond into the eternity of eternities. Now, if you notice something very interesting about today's service, all of the hymns that we have sung this morning have been invitation hymns. I have selected these on purpose because this is the last invitation of the Lord Jesus, but it could be also your very last invitation to accept Jesus. This will be concluding the sermon after preaching nearly 9 months to this fine congregation. What a congregation you are. What a lovely church you are. And now, the last invitation. It's taken from the most beautiful and one of the most meaningful of all the texts in the Bibles. You see it there on your screen. One text, but so filled with a message from God. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Thus saith the Lord God, the Lord Jesus himself, in the last invitation, the last words of invitation by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that in that one verse, three times you see the word come. Come, come. You look over the entire 22nd chapter, and about seven times there's some form of the word come coming from the lips of Jesus. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." I want you to notice something very, very unusual. I've been saying there are three voices, but the Holy Spirit keeps telling me there are four voices saying come. In that passage of Scripture. First, the Spirit says, "Come." You see that? The Spirit itself. And then the bride says, "Come." Folks, that's the church. And then, "Let him that heareth says, come." That's the third voice. Now, I'll talk to you about that, and you'll see clearly who that is. And then the fourth voice is the Lord Jesus himself saying, "Come, I want to give them the water of life and let him drink freely." We're going to look at each one of these wonderful four voices of God and the people of God making up the last invitation. Our Lord himself sums up that invitation. He says, "Let him that is athirst come. Let him drink of the water of life freely." This is the last invitation from Jesus himself for you to come and to accept him as your Lord and your Savior. First, the voice of the Lord. You know, I think the Lord, he's listening, he's giving these words to John, and he's literally dictating them himself, and then he remembers, oh, Oh, there are some that have not responded to the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's some that have not responded to the voice of the church. There's some who've not responded to the voice of those who are witnesses. And so he says to him, he says with his own voice, let him come and drink of the water of life. I want to give him the water of life, and he can drink freely. This Jesus makes is the invitation of all invitations. He says, let him that is athirst come. Let him who will take the water of life freely. I'm going to ask you, what is God's favorite word? By now you should have guessed. It's come. 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 Always throughout the entire Bible, we have the Lord saying, come. In John 4:13 and 14, he makes the situation about the water real clear. I put it up on the water fountain this morning. John 4:13 and 14, the water I will give him will become a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Throughout the Bible, invitation after invitation. In Genesis 7:1, he says to Noah, come, come, come into the ark. And when they came, then he shut the door. And then there was the word of the great lawgiver, Moses. There was a division of the people in the camp. They were in the sin of idolatry. And he said to them, come, come, he said in Exodus 32:26, come, come, who will stand with me and the Lord? And then in Isaiah 1:18, one of the most famous passages of Scripture in all the Bible that you've heard and know many times. Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And then in Isaiah 55:1, everyone that thirsteth, let him come. He can buy without money and without price. This is the blessed word that's constantly on the lips of Jesus, our Lord, throughout the entire Scripture. Come, come, come. I love it when he walked by those fishermen in Matthew 19:14, and he said, come, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I love it in Matthew 19:14, where he says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's an invitation. And so we know now what the favorite word of the Lord is. It's invitation of come. It's his invitation that to all that are heavy hearted. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Mark 10:21. He says to the young ruler who has the world in his heart and his riches in his heart, he says to him, give it up, give it all up, come and follow me. And so it is. He even cries out to that terrible, crooked, cheating IRS supervisor by the name of Zacchaeus that had climbed up a tree. He said, Zacchaeus, you come down out of that tree. He said, you come down out of the tree. We're going to have dinner today with you, with me at your house. And that man was never the same again. Luke 14:23, the Lord tells us by the great physician Luke, out into the highways, go out, and into the hedges go ye, he said, constrain and compel them to come in. Let me tell you that the great purpose of the gospel services, of the prayer meetings, the worship hours, the efforts of the church of God and the minister of the people is to lift up their voices and say to the entire community that surrounds this church and to the whole world, come, come, come. Jesus wants to forgive you. He wants to accept you. And in that invitation, that very simple, that small passage up there, we see another voice. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the Holy Spirit. All are participating in this invitation. All are. The Spirit, the Lord Jesus himself, the Spirit of the Lord, him that hears, they're all participating in this saying, come to the world. And so we see that passage again. The Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride's the church, you know. The bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit of the Lord pleads with a man to come to Jesus. Every time I stand in this pulpit. Every time. Every time I stand in this pulpit. When I preach the word of the living God, I know that the Spirit of the living God is here, and that the Spirit of the living God is literally gripping the hearts of those who need to trust Jesus as Savior. That's the way it is in the church. The church is a good place. It is a good place where the Spirit of God comes and convicts. I always know when I stand to preach, I always know that, number one, I will not preach without the anointing of God's Spirit upon me. And number two, that he'll squeeze the hearts. He'll pull the hearts of men and women, and he'll be saying, come, come, come. The Spirit of God says, come to Jesus. And then there's a third voice, and a very important voice. It's the voice of the church, the voice of the bride. You see it there? The bride says, come. The bride, come, come. With all of the abuse, with all of the criticism that there is of the church today, I want to give you a demonstration. I want to tell you what happens. You take the absolute worst person in the whole world. You take the most reprobate, down and out, mean, ugly, ungodly person in this community. And when they walk down the aisle, when they walk down the aisle and they yield to the Holy Spirit, when they do that and they give the preacher their hand, but they give their heart to Jesus, and they say things like this: oh, preacher, I just want to accept Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. I've been a horrible, horrible person. I say, look around, look around. You know what you'll see in the eyes and the hearts of the people of God, the church? You'll see tears coming down their face. And you'll not only see that, but you'll see them saying, praise God, praise God. Another sinner that was lost has been found. That, my brothers and sisters, is the church. Four weeks ago, maybe five, I don't know. There's a young man. He sat right back there where that dear lady's sitting by herself, that very back pew, Wednesday night. I saw him back there. I saw defeat in his eyes. I saw brokenness. I saw loneliness. I saw a man sitting there, a young man sitting there at the end of himself. So I walked back there. I sat down beside him before the Wednesday night service started. He told me his woe. He told me all that was going on in his life. I don't have a job. I can't get a job. My car's been wrecked. I don't have a car. I can't go anywhere. My life is over. My life is hopeless. I'm stuck. I'm alone. I'm stuck. I've done bad things. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I said to him, you don't have to be stuck. You need to get rid of your bad friends. You need to get into the church. And you need to see the love of God and let the love of God come to you and help you. I said, you need a miracle. I can't promise you anything, but I know that God is a God of miracles. That young man got in the church. He's been at the services when I preach. He's been in the Sunday school class. Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, after the services, he came down to the front of the church there to talk to me personally. He said, Pastor, I want you to know something. I've got a job. I've got a car. It uses a lot of gas, but praise God, I got a car. Pastor, I've got hope. I've got a future. Wednesday night, he had no hope. He had no future. He had nothing. He was stuck, but praise God, God's released him. Why? Because he simply came to the church. The church, place of open love. The church of the living God. Then last Sunday morning, he came and told me that. No hope, no future. But now he has a future with Jesus in the church. What if there had been no church to pray for him? What if there had been no church to accept him? Brother Lowell stood this morning, gave his testimony. Wonderful testimony. I'm used to seeing him with that oxygen dragging around. I'm used to seeing him barely able to be mobile. And the nurses and doctors have said, get ready, it's almost over. But the prayers of the church came forward. And he's sitting there a healed man today because of the prayers of this church. I sat there on Wednesday nights. I heard that small group that comes on Wednesday night. I heard them praying. But more important than me, God heard them praying. And Loyal gave his testimony today. That's the children of God. That's what this church is like. Some of you looking for a church home? You better make the right moves. This is the place. You see somewhere in some group, the church, the people of God are down on their knees. They're asking God to save the lost. Somewhere in the wicked world, there's proof of the power of a praying church. That's Brother Loyal. That's that young man. And what if there had been no church, where would Brother Loyal be today? In fact, there will be no church in the Great Tribulation. But you don't have to be here. You can be raptured with guess who? The church! I'm reminded of a song by Dr. William Pitts. I can't sing it. I'm that guy that Brother Fritz sings about that gets to heaven and he gets to sing in the choir. What's his name, Brother Fritz?
Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse. I think I'll change my name to Jesse. Because I'm going to get to sing in the choir then. But I can't sing it this morning, but I'll quote it to you. This reminds me of the song. There's a church in the valley by the wildwood. No lovelier spot in the dale. No place in my childhood like the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, come, come to the church by the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood than the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a Sabbath morning to listen to the clear ringing bells. Its tones so sweetly are calling. Oh, come to the church in the vale. Oh, come, come, come to the church by the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood like the little brown church in the vale. But why is it so dear? It's dear because love is there. It's dear because forgiveness is there. It's dear because God's miracles are there. It is dear because the Holy Spirit is there. It's dear because that Jesus is here. It's dear because in a moment when I give the invitation in a little bit, the Holy Spirit's going to move in this place. There are three that were moved this morning service. Three came forward for prayer. And then there's another voice. I'll close with it in a moment here. It says this. You see, the bride, let me say this first. The bride of Christ says, come to the church. The church with their prayer meetings, the church with their Bibles, the church with their missionaries, with the many ministries of love. Ring the bell for the church in the veil. And other churches that are preaching Jesus Christ say, come, for there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And the bride of Christ says, come. And then the fourth voice. Notice there on the screen it says, and let him that heareth come. Now that may be a mystery to you. We're going to reveal it right now. When I read that text, I thought about the woman at the well. You know, she came forward to get some water. She was not a very good reputation. She, in fact, was disrespected and thought of as dirt by the whole town. She was a prostitute. But yet she met Jesus and she gave her life to him. And what does she do? She runs back to the town of Sychar. She grabs everybody she can by the hand and says, "Come, come, I found somebody who knows all about me and forgave me of my sins. He must be the Messiah. Come to Jesus," is what she was saying. That's found in John 4, 28 through 30. Then leaving her water at the jar, the woman went back to town, said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And they came out of that town. Every one of them made their way to him. I'm speaking about, let him that hears say, "Come." I speak today in the name of Jesus. I speak today in the name of a dear departed father that says, "Come." I speak today in the name of a dear departed mother that says, "Come," who trusted Christ in the name of the Lord, who now rests in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. They repeat the glad invitation, "Come, come, come." Perhaps they're looking down from heaven and they're saying, "What? What? Mary was supposed to be in the church. Where is she?" Perhaps they're looking down from heaven, they're saying, "John was supposed to be baptized. He's not followed the Lord in baptism. Where is he?" Perhaps they're looking down from heaven and say, "Oh, Sally, oh, Sue, oh, Mary, oh, June, where are my lovely daughters that I've called and I tried to teach about Jesus? Where are they? Why are they not in the church? Why are they not following Jesus?" Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the first verse. "We are encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, and they are pleading. They are pleading. They are those who have heard. They're saying, 'Come, come, come to the Lord Jesus.'" Scripture says, Jesus again, "And let him that is athirst come." What a simile that is. What a metaphor that is. You see, there's no urgency. There's no intensive desire like there is a thirst of the human body for water. You've all seen it on television, parched lips and how they're struggling to take one step. They desire water. The human body needs water. You can live without food for 4 to 6 days. Without water, 3 days is the maximum. Let me tell you that spiritually what a man is crying out for, though his lips are not parched, his soul is parched, and he's crying out instead of for water, man today is crying out, "God, oh God, oh God, I need you. I need a miracle in my life. I need you." That was Brother Lowell not very long ago. You see, our God is a God of miracles. That's the figure of the human soul for the cup of immortality, the fountain of life. Water, water, instead, God, 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 I need God. And our Lord says here, "Whoever drinks of the water of this life shall thirst again." And John 4, 13 says, the world is looking for, that's what John 4, 13 says, but the world is subsisting on the water of just a regular secular life. You say, "Well, Pastor, what is that water that the world uses?" It's fame, it's riches, it's wealth, it's success, it's pleasure. But these things do not feed the soul like the water of the everlasting God. And so Jesus says, "Let him that is athirst come." And he says, "Whosoever will." That's you, that's I, that's everybody in the world who will humble themselves and come to the Lord Jesus. This is the greatest summation of all the invitations that God has ever made in His Word. He says, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Do you see that? You see, that includes us. We're all elect. That is, we're the elect. You know who we're the whosoever wills. You know who the non-elect are? They are the whosoever wants. And so in a moment, when I give that invitation, there's going to be some whosoever wants. God help them. God save them. It's my prayer for them. "So let him come," says the Lord. See that word "let" in that passage of Scripture? It's an amazing word. It's a word of grace, you see. Now, but a man's conscience intervenes. A man's conscience says, oh, I can't go down front. I've got some pride. I can't do that. The fear of a man intervenes. Doubts of a fear, doubts in a man's life cause him to stand in the way. But God says, let him come. And when God says, let, nobody can stand in your way. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and bring you down that aisle. Whosoever will take the water of life freely. Do you see that? Whosoever will take the life of the water of life freely. It's that simple. This is not difficult. All you got to do is take Jesus. All you got to do is take the water of life. Now, I want you to see something. He says nothing about feeling. You don't have to have a special feeling. You have to use your head and say it makes common sense that I take the water of life freely. He says nothing about you got to speak in tongues or you got to do something just really special or you're not my child. He says nothing about that. He says nothing about bringing, although, you know, if people have that gift, that's their business, that's fine. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that you can come to Christ without anything. Don't let anything stand between you and Jesus. He's not saying bring a load. He's not saying anything. He's just saying, does a man want Christ? Let him take him. Does a man want forgiveness? Take it. Does a man want reconciliation? Take it. Do you want heaven? Take it. Come, and the Holy Spirit of God will help you right down that aisle and let you find Jesus as Savior. I'm kind of an expert on the Jewish people. I've studied them a lot. I especially have studied their experience in the Holocaust. Terrible, terrible thing. I was watching a movie one time when the U.S. Army freed a man in a Nazi concentration camp. He was given food and he was given a glass of milk. And the nurse said to him, now be careful with that milk. Don't you drink that milk all at once. You take that milk and you drink it slowly. And he said to the nurse, nurse, how much milk can I have? She said, now you're going to be able to have all of the milk that you want, but take it easy now. Don't try to drink it all at once. Let me tell you, that's God's grace for us. You cannot drink too much of it. You cannot have too much of it. You cannot extend too much of it to others. You can drink all of the grace of God that you need, whatever your sins are, the grace of God. He says, I forgive you. Come, 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 follow me. You remember when you were in the first grade? How about kindergarten? Some of you do. Remember in those days, if we'd been especially good, sometimes the teacher would give us a star. Sometimes if we got all of our spelling words right, she might put a star on our forehead or a star on our paper. I remember I must have been good one time. I got a star on my hand. I thought that's pretty good for me. Well, let me tell you something that's wonderful. In this last invitation, let me tell you something that is absolutely wonderful. You remember getting that star in school? You remember that? In this last invitation, if you accept the invitation of Jesus, the rabbi of the ages, they called our Savior the teacher. And he says in this 22nd chapter, verse 16, he says, I will give you the bright and morning star. You know who that is? He's saying, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you Jesus. I'm going to give you myself. That's what he's saying. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? All you've got to do is let go of the things of this world. All you've got to do is turn your heart to Jesus, and he will forgive you, and he wants to put upon your seal, the golden star of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He wants to have that pasted on you. That's his sign that you belong to him. Well, we find that also in the Revelation 2:28, I will give him the morning star. You remember that Jesus just went to the cross for you? I have another favorite hymn. Most of you have never heard it. Never heard it. I wish I could sing it. I can't. But I'll tell you, one day in heaven, when I see you all there, I'll sing it for you. It's done to the tune of Danny Boy, and it goes like this. Above the hills of time, the cross is gleaming. Fair as the sun when night has turned to day. And from its love, pure light is richly streaming. to cleanse the heart and banish sin away. To this poor cross the eyes of men are turning, today as in the ages lost to sight. And so for thee, O Christ, men's hearts are yearning as shipwrecked seamen yearn for morning light. The cross, O Christ, thy wondrous love revealing, awakes our hearts with light of morn, and pardon o'er our sinful spirit stealing, tell us that we in thee have been reborn. Like echoes to sweet temple bells replying, our hearts, O Lord, make answer to thy love. And we love thee with a love undying, till we are gathered to thy home above. Do you need a closer relationship with Jesus? Do you? Do you thirst for a love for the Scriptures? I couldn't read the Scriptures. Every time I'd read the Scriptures, I'd go to sleep. I said a prayer like this. Maybe you need to say it too. Lord God, change my heart. Give me a love for the Scriptures. And today, I have a love for this Word of God. It's a joy to my heart. It's a promise to my heart. It gives me a concrete relationship with God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me tell you what that faith is. Let me tell you, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11:1. And let me tell you what that means. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This is the substance. And when you get a hold of this concrete substance, when you get hold of the Word of God, you get hold of Jesus. And you'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. Oh, I'm inviting you in this last invitation of the Lord Jesus Himself. I'm inviting you to come, let Him be your best friend. You don't need to walk alone. You don't need to be in that situation alone. You don't need to be in that hopeless situation. That baby in the hospital in Kansas City, she's not alone. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. Suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying to you this morning, come, come, come. That's His favorite invitation. Let's stand while we sing hymn number 307. Won't you come? Trust Jesus as Savior today. Won't you come? Maybe you're the one that they looked down from heaven and said, He's never been baptized. She's never been baptized. She didn't go down into the water with Jesus. He didn't. They don't have a church home. Maybe you're looking for one. This is the day. This is the hour. This is the moment right now as we sing this hymn. Won't you come? There's an invitation of Jesus. Come. No plea, no excuse. Come to Jesus.
Bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am and waiting.
Don't wait any longer. Now's the time. Come, come, saith the Spirit. Come, says the church. Come, says those who are watching. Come, says Jesus. Come on. It's the last invitation in the book of the Bible. Come on. You need a church home. Come on. You need to rededicate your life. Come on. Come on. Do it now. Do it now. Take one step. Just one step toward that aisle. The Holy Spirit will bring you the rest of the way. Come on. Come on.
As I am without.
What did you expect this morning? Did you expect the Holy Spirit to come in like that? He's got hold of you. Come on. Come on, make that decision. Some are coming, you need to come too. Come on, right now.
Tidings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. Poor, wretched, blind.
God's calling you.
Sight,
God's calling you.
Riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb.
Do you come?
Of God.
Do you come? Come on.
I come.
All right, Brother Fritz. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
What a lovely church you are. What a lovely church you are. Father, I thank you for these that love you so much. I thank you for a church that is born from above. I thank you for Brother Lowell that comes rededicating his life. I thank you for this other one that comes in prayer for a lost brother and sister. Oh God, hear their prayers. Thank you for what you're doing in the life of this church. Thank you for the wonderful things that you're doing. Bless even now Brother Mike Leake as he gets ready to come. Bless him, Father. Bring him with the power of your Holy Spirit. Just like today, Father, fall fresh on this church again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.